The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include stocks end mixed ahead of busy earnings week and the great resignation now going global. Stocks wobbled to a mixed finish on Wall Street Monday as the market's momentum slowed down following its best week since July. The muted trading comes ahead of a busy week of corporate earnings that could help investors find a smoother path ahead for stocks after weeks of choppiness. Investors are also trying to figure out how the broader economy will continue its recovery, with COVID-19 lingering as a threat while businesses and consumers face rising inflation. The S&P 500 rose 15.09 points, or 0.3%, to 4,486.46, with stocks roughly split between gainers and losers. The benchmark index has been choppy for weeks. It rose 1.8% last week for its best week since July, though it shed 2.2% just 2 weeks prior. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 36.15 points, or 0.1%, to 35,258.61. The NASDAQ rose 124.47, or 0.8%, 15,021.81. Technology stocks and companies that rely on direct consumer spending made broad gains, but were tempered by losses from healthcare and other companies. Chip maker NVIDIA rose 1.6% and Target rose 3.2%. Medical device company Medtronic fell 5.5%. Energy stocks managed gains as U.S. crude oil prices bounced from small gains to losses. Prices have soared nearly 70% so far this year. Occidental Petroleum rose 4%. A mix of retailers and other companies that rely on consumer spending also rose. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to 1.58% from 1.57% late Friday. The S&P 500 is still within roughly 1.1% of its all-time high set on September 2nd, even with the swings within the broader market. Much of the churn is due to different sectors, such as technology stocks, shifting from leading gains to leading losses on any given day. Investors are busy reviewing the latest round of corporate earnings for a better picture of how companies fared through the surge of virus cases last quarter and how many are dealing with rising inflation's impact on cost. A wide range of companies have warned that supply chain problems have been crimping operations and could dent their finances through the rest of the year. Wall Street is concerned that as businesses face higher cost, they will pass them along to consumers, and that could stymie spending and the broader economic recovery. Healthcare giant Johnson & Johnson will report its latest results on Tuesday, as will streaming entertainment service Netflix. Investors will get a better sense of how airlines are recovering when several major carriers report results this week. United Airlines will report its latest results on Tuesday, with American Airlines and Southwest Airlines reporting their results on Thursday. Wall Street will also get more information on the housing market this week with the Commerce Department's report on housing starts for September on Tuesday and the National Association of Realtors report Thursday on sales of previously occupied homes in September. Great Resignation now going global. In the United States, the phenomenon dubbed as the Great Resignation seems to be picking up speed. A record 4.3 million U.S. workers quit their jobs in August, according to new data from the Labor Department, a figure that expands to 20 million if measured back to April. Many of these resignations took place in the retail and hospitality sectors, with employees opting out of difficult low-wage jobs. But the quitting spans a broad spectrum of the American workforce, as the toll of the pandemic and the tortuous path to recovery keep fueling what Atlantic writer Derek Thompson has described as a centrifugal moment in American economic history. Wages are up and businesses face staffing shortages, while the experience of a sustained public health emergency has prompted myriad Americans to reevaluate their work options. This pandemic has been going on for so long, it's affecting people mentally and physically. Danny Nelms, president of the Work Institute, a consulting firm, told the Wall Street Journal. All those things are continuing to make people be reflective of their life and career and their jobs. Add to that over 10 million openings, and if I want to go do something different, it's not terribly hard to do. The Great Resignation in the United States was preceded by a far greater decades-long, arguably stagnation in worker wages and benefits. In lower-end jobs, earnings have not matched the pace of inflation, while work grew more informal and precarious. Workers' rights activists now see a vital moment for a course correction. October has been a banner month for American organized labor, with major strikes across various industries sweeping the country. Workers are harder to replace, and many companies are scrambling to manage hobbled supply chains and meet pandemic-fueled demand for their products. That has given unions new leverage and made striking less risky, my colleagues reported. For the average worker in a developed Western economy, there are reasons for encouragement. The truth is, people in the 1960s and 70s quit their jobs more often than they have in the past 20 years. And the economy was better off for it, wrote Thompson in The Atlantic. Since the 1980s, Americans have quit less, and many have clung to crappy jobs for fear that the safety net wouldn't support them while they looked for a new one. But Americans seem to be done with sticking it out, and they're being rewarded for the lack of patience. Wages for low-income workers are rising at their fastest rate since the Great Recession. In social democratic Western Europe, a stronger safety net has led to somewhat less disruption in the workforce, but similar trends are at play. Data collated by the OECD, which groups most of the advanced industrial democracies, shows that in its 38 member countries, about 20 million fewer people are in work than before the coronavirus struck, noted Politico Europe. Of these, 14 million have exited the labor market and are classified as not working and not looking for work. Compared to 2019, 3 million more young people are not in employment, education, or training. A survey published in August found that a third of all Germany companies were reporting a dearth in skilled workers. That month, Detlef Scheel, head of the German Federal Employment Agency, told Süddeutsche Zeitung newspaper that the country would need to import 400,000 skilled workers a year to make up for shortfalls in a host of industries, from nursing care to green tech companies. Pandemic-era border closures and rising wages in Central and Eastern European countries have led to shortages of meat packers and hospitality workers in countries like Germany and Denmark. "Frankly, this is a pay issue," said Andrew Watt, head of the European Economics Unit at the Macroeconomic Policy Institute at the German trade union's Hans Böckler Foundation, to Politico. "Wages will have to increase in these sectors to get people back into tough, low-paid jobs. That's no bad thing." But the story gets a bit more uneven and certainly more grim in the developing world. In Latin America and the Caribbean, 26 million people lost their jobs last year amid pandemic-era shutdowns, according to the UN's International Labor Organization. The vast majority of jobs that have returned are in the informal sector, an outcome that often means even lower pay and greater precarity in the region already defined by profound economic inequality. These are jobs that are generally unstable, with low wages, without social protection or rights, said Vinicius Pinheiro, regional director for the ILO, at a briefing last month. He also noted the disproportionate impact of the pandemic on the region's youth. According to one study earlier this year, one in six people aged between 18 and 29 in Latin America and the Caribbean had left work since the pandemic began. In Asia's diverse economies, other pains are being felt. China is seeing its own version of the Great Resignation, with a younger generation of workers more disenchanted by their prospects and turned off by the relatively low wages in the manufacturing centers that powered China's economic rise. Authorities in Beijing warn of a growing shortage of skilled workers in its crucial tech industry, a challenge for China's leadership as it tries to steer the national economy toward more skilled sectors. And as global demand picks up after the fallow months of the pandemic, China's factories are feeling the pinch of labor shortages. Another labor-related pandemic phenomenon is crystallizing in neighboring Vietnam. Many migrant workers who left for their rural homes when jobs in big cities dried up amid lockdowns are not coming back. It's clear that there was extreme hardship faced by both businesses and workers during the prolonged lockdown, said Mary Tarnaka, chief executive of Am Cham Vietnam in Ho Chi Minh City, to the Financial Times. And there was particular pain and hardship for people at lower economic levels who didn't have money for rent or food. In the villages, many of Asia's working poor can at least count on roofs over their head and food to eat. It's another form of resignation. Those who clung to what jobs they could keep were often coping with more dire conditions. When the pandemic snarled fast fashion supply chains, millions of garment workers in South Asia, as a recent study by the Asia Floor Wage Alliance documented, had to swallow wage losses and endure work arrangements marked by widespread human rights abuses. In a survey interviewing 1,140 garment workers in Myanmar, Honduras, Ethiopia, and India, researchers from Britain's University of Sheffield and the U.S.-based Worker Rights Consortium found that a majority had been forced to borrow money and many incurred greater debt over the course of the pandemic. About a third of workers who changed jobs reported worse working conditions, including lower pay and more risk. Workers were already not being paid fair wages and had little savings at the beginning of the pandemic, said Zamir Awan, field worker with the Pakistan Institute of Labor Education and Research, to Reuters. Now, most are deep in debt, and those who have found jobs again find themselves in more abusive conditions, but without a voice anymore. Bitcoin pierces $57,000 amid push for records. Bitcoin climbed above $57,000 for the first time since May as speculators bet that the largest cryptocurrency will retest the record highs reached earlier this year. It reached almost $65,000 in April and has roughly doubled this year. The Bloomberg Galaxy Crypto Index increased as much as 2.4% on Monday. As in past rallies, a myriad of reasons are being cited for the latest surge, from an easing of concern about regulatory efforts in the U.S. and China, as well as renewed optimism about a possible U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission approval of a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund. Investors are particularly excited that a Bitcoin futures ETF may soon greenlighted by the U.S. regulator, as SEC Chair Gary Gensler has signaled openness to a fund focused exclusively on the derivatives-based product. A lot of investors and advisors have had crypto on their to-do list and are finally making the move with allocations that start with Bitcoin or crypto funds like the Bitwise 10 that invest heavily in Bitcoin, said Hunter Horsley, the chief executive of Bitwise Invest. Bitwise has seen hundreds of advisors make their first allocations to crypto over the last several weeks, with many flocking to the asset class amid macro fears about inflation and low yields, he said. Some strategies are also cheering the resilience of the Bitcoin, as seen by the recovery in its so-called hash rate, a measure of computing power being contributed to the network, following China's latest crackdown on mining earlier this year. As mining operations in China shut down, transaction processors across North America ramped up. A metric that tracks the hash rate's power has jumped 103% since late June, according to a report from Luxor Technology. The time-honored FUD that China controls or will attempt to control Bitcoin is now moot. Hash rate is being distributed around the globe, with North America emerging as the new dominant hub, said the report. Analysts who look at patterns in price charts say that $60,000 is the next level of resistance, though Bitcoin's relative strength index above 70 suggests that it's now in overbought territory. And next, warehouse jobs, recently thought of as jobs of the future, are suddenly work few workers want. Warehouse jobs were supposed to be the future of the retail industry, offering opportunities for displaced employees and reshaping the American workforce. Amazon, Target, Walmart, and other companies pledge to create hundreds of thousands of these positions at competitive wages, and with perks like free college thrown in, so they could fill the deluge of online orders that began with the pandemic and continue unabated. But the industry is facing an unexpected problem. Far too few people are willing to take on the often grueling work, according to industry officials and economic data. It is the latest sign that the job market is being buffeted by unexpected trends that are leading workers to reconsider the types of positions they want and upending industries across the economy. Every year we say, well, this is really difficult, and every year it gets more challenging, said Sabrina Wernowski, Vice President of Human Resources at Radial, which operates fulfillment centers for brands such as Cole Haan, Aeropostale, and the Children's Place. The company, she said, is offering daily raffles with prizes like PlayStations and iPads, as well as pizza parties and on-site food trucks in a bid to attract 27,000 warehouse workers this year, up 30% from 2019. Given high unemployment, you'd expect it would be easy to attract labor, she said, but it's been the opposite. The warehouse industry has already cycled through millions of workers, some of whom say they've sworn off warehouse jobs altogether. That labor economists say is creating new challenges for retailers scrambling to fill crucial jobs, unloading trucks, picking orders, and delivering packages. The warehouse and transportation industry had a record 490,000 openings in July, a gap that experts predict will widen in coming months. The dearth of willing workers is hitting companies just as they're preparing for a fraught holiday season. Supply chain hiccups, shipping delays, and out-of-stock products are expected to cut into retailer sales and profits, and analysts say staffing shortages make the outlook even more uncertain. The number of seasonal postings advertising urgent or immediate vacancies on the job site, Indeed, has grown tenfold from a year ago, according to a company economist, Anne Elizabeth Conkle. Many more employers also are advertising hiring incentives like signing bonuses and cash, she said. Gap is touting around-the-clock telehealth appointments and 50% discounts on its clothing. Aldi has bumped up the average starting pay at warehouses to $19 an hour. Walmart is promising extra pay for supply chain employees who show up to all scheduled shifts. And Sleep Number is offering sign-on bonuses of as much as $1,000 at distribution centers in Ohio and California, plus free mattresses for all new hires. The country's largest retailers are going a step further. Walmart, Target, and Amazon announced this summer that they would begin offering free college tuition and textbooks to employees. There is a lot more urgency this year, Conkle said, but on the flip side, when we look at job seeker interest, we're really not seeing a rebound. At interviews with more than a dozen current and former warehouse workers across the country, nearly all described being overwhelmed amid staff shortages with few prospects for moving up. Many spoke of 60-hour work weeks and requests to take on even more shifts during the peak holiday season. Some longtime employees, particularly those who worked through the early days of the pandemic, say they're resentful of newcomers who are being wooed with large signing bonuses and higher wages. But even those incentives, they say, haven't been enough to keep workers from leaving. People quit every single day, said David, who works at an Amazon fulfillment center in Washington State, and asked to be identified by his first name only because he fears retribution at work. The job is brutal, 10 hours on your feet, he said. Half the people quit after their first day. A spokeswoman for Amazon declined to comment on the workers' claim or on the company's overall turnover rate. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. Labor experts say the nation's 1.5 million warehouse jobs have been reshaped by the industry's biggest player, Amazon, which has 950,000 U.S. workers, making it the country's second-largest private employer. Amazon, according to experts, has had a mixed impact on local job markets. The company has created hundreds of thousands of fulfillment jobs, often at better pay than what's offered in the local community. At the same time, critics say it has also dragged down working conditions and wages for the warehouse industry, where starting pay has generally been higher than in other sectors, including retail and hospitality. In counties with an Amazon warehouse, turnover is often double the national industry rate, according to the National Employment Law Project. Once Amazon gets to town, turnover skyrockets and wages decline, said Irene Tung, senior researcher and policy analyst for the National Employment Law Project. Amazon is the standard bearer, and it is dragging down working conditions for everybody. The company, which pays a starting hourly rate of $15, often requires employees to work 10-hour shifts with rigid quotas. A recent Washington Post analysis of Occupational Safety and Health Administration data found that rates of serious injury at Amazon are nearly double those of other U.S. warehouses. And this summer, officials in Washington State concluded that there was a direct connection between injuries at Amazon warehouses and its employee monitoring and discipline systems. Employers have to wake up to the fact that these jobs are not sustainable, Tung said. People can't stay because they get injured or because their bodies just give out. Barbara Agret, a spokeswoman for Amazon, said the company had invested hundreds of millions of dollars in including a staff of nearly 8,000 safety personnel and ongoing training tools and technology. The safety and well-being of our employees is always a top priority, she said in a statement. When setting employee expectations, we take into account things like time in role, experience, and their safety and well-being. She also noted that many employees looked to Amazon for short-term work to make some extra income when they need it. A large percentage of workers, she said, are rehires, though she declined to share specifics. The company, which is hoping to hire 125,000 warehouse and logistics workers before the holidays, is offering $3,000 bonuses and starting hourly wages of as much as $22. It also recently dropped marijuana testing requirements. Coming out of COVID, there's been a major shift in the willingness of workers to take on jobs, said David Neukirk, a former vice president of human resources for global operations at Amazon. The whole volume of workers in warehouses are looking to hire are pretty staggering at a time when the whole country seems to be having trouble staffing. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.